This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And we're continuing our series on pure gospel. And again, we've been just, you know, considering what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And so every one of us have been given a trust, a sacred trust, with regards to the gospel that has been handed to us by previous believers, many of whom have suffered and bled and been isolated and persecuted and attacked, maligned and even killed, to ensure that the scriptures in their purity would be handed to us. And now we must pay it forward. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 in the message, when I arrived in Troas to proclaim the message of the Messiah, I found the place wide open. God had opened the door. All I had to do was walk through it. But when I didn't find Titus waiting for me with news of your condition, I couldn't relax. Worried about you, I left and came to Macedonia province looking for Titus and a reassuring word on you. And I got it, thank God, in the Messiah. In Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, he brings knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way to salvation, an aroma redolent with life. But those on the way to destruction treat us more like the stench from a rotting corpse. This is a terrific responsibility. Is anyone competent to take it on? No. But at least we don't take God's word, water it down, and then take it to the streets to sell it cheap. We stand in Christ's presence when we speak. God looks us in the face. We get what we say straight from God and say it as honestly as we can. We say it as honestly as we can. I think that's a motto every pastor and minister must live by. To say it as honestly as we can. That God forbid that any of us as men or women of God should be found guilty of misrepresenting the Messiah. Of misrepresenting a holy, awesome God. A God whom we will all one day stand before and give an account to. A watered gospel is not a pure gospel. And a weak church will not serve or stand in the days that are to come. Because we can't have revival without seeing persecution. The devil's not going to roll over and play dead. What do you think? That the world will give you a medal for tearing down the kingdom of darkness? No, they will hate you because you are Christ's. 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The International Standard Version. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in union with the Messiah, Jesus, will be persecuted. And the Amplified. Indeed, all who delight in pursuing righteousness and are determined to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be hunted and persecuted because of their faith. Those who truly surrender are a threat, and this is why Satan fights the true gospel presented properly. And this is very relevant to the times we're in. Don't think that we will see genuine revival, or at least revival in its fullness, unless the preaching changes. The winds of revival bring change. Charles G. Finney spoke of preaching searching sermons, and it's quite common for people to be either triggered or converted by them. Jonathan Edwards' very famous sermon, credited with starting the Great Awakening in the United States, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Again, there's no doubt it's a message that, you know, had such an effect, not just on the people in the room on that day, but throughout the nation. Because when something is pure, it's potent. Can you see why Satan wants the church to tone it down for the greater good, of course? We don't want people walking out angry or upset, you know. Well, sometimes it's unavoidable. I've come to the conclusion that it's better for people to walk out angry now because at least they've been affected by the word and they have no excuse in eternity. They have heard, but sometimes people choose to reject the gospel. Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The Revised Geneva Translation, for I have kept nothing back but have declared to you the whole counsel of God. And the ERV. I can say this because I know that I told you everything God wants you to know. Can we as pastors say that we have told the people that everything that God wants them to know, even the parts that people maybe don't want to hear? Paul held nothing back. God forbid that we do any less in our presentation of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ, in the New Living. You see, we are not like many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us, and the Amplified. For we are not like many, acting like merchants, peddling God's word, shortchanging and adulterating God's message. But from pure, uncompromised motives, as commissioned and sent from God, we speak His message in Christ, in the sight of God. Are we speaking as those who are in the sight of God? Those who, like I said, will give an account to God. Holman Bible. For we are not like the many who market God's message for profit. On the contrary, we speak with sincerity in Christ, as of from God and before God. So we don't want to be found guilty of peddling or adulterating or even perverting the gospel of Christ, because the day will come when we stand before Jesus to give an account of how we served Him and what we said. Romans 14 and verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. 1 Peter 4, 5. They will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And so again, I don't want to be guilty of misrepresenting the Savior or salvation. Life is too short and eternity is too long for us to risk not being crystal clear with our presentation of the gospel. It's a sacred gospel, and it's a sacred privilege to preach this gospel. It's a glorious gospel, like the Bible says, of a glorious God. And therefore, this must affect how we deliver it. And, you know, every Bible, like I said, must come with a warning sign, handle with care and reverence. And, you know, that being so, I'd like us to finish just by taking a moment to consider the tremendous privilege God has given by entrusting the message to us. He could have sent angels to preach the gospel, and yet He has chosen us as His church, as His body, to represent Him on this earth and to fulfill that heavenly vision, to obey that divine mandate that God has given to us as the church, to preach the gospel to every tribe, every people, every tongue, every nation. The Bible says, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. It's interesting that that verse follows Jesus, you know, acknowledging all of the signs and the, you know, the crazy things that will be happening in the end days, the deception, the lies, the wickedness, the violence, you know, famines, pestilence, war, rumors of wars, all these things. And then it says, and this gospel, because it is all about the gospel, will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. So the end is not going to come until we've been faithful to preach the gospel. So let's do our part, and we believe God will do His at the appropriate time and season. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland. God bless you.